And the word, what's the word? And there's a bird right there. So let's see how he responds to pastor's preaching. Amen.
Fundamental Baptist, Bible-believing Christians who are committed, get this, to God's moral law. Don't miss this tonight, because I'm going to set a foundation for this message, and I'm not going to finish this message tonight. I hope to finish it perhaps next week. It's going to be a little bit more. We're talking about God's standards for dress.
Amen. You see that? Amen. And he's amened. He's shaking his head up and down. That is so good. Amen. I'm just glad you're here tonight. You hung out and you stayed with it. Those of you that are here, praise the Lord for that. Because we are preaching on words for the birds, and we've looked at the word called legalism. And legalism, biblically, is having standards. People say it's having standards for living the Christian life that are based in the Bible. And if your standard's higher than somebody else, they accuse you of being a legalist. But Acts 15:1 says this, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And those were the original legalists, who were Judaizers. And they say that you have to add the works of the law to faith in order to be saved. But we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But once you get saved, you're to live by the standards of the Word of God. And Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So the ceremonies, the sacrifices of the Mosaic law, the dietary laws given to Israel on Sinai were temporary shadows that were here until the sunshine of Christ's coming and his final sacrifice. Yet the moral law of God revealed in the Bible, Old Testament and New, is still the standard for holy living in any dispensation of God's dealing. So you're living in the church age. I'm living in the church age. We're indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. And if you're indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, guess what? Your standard is the moral law of God as revealed in the Bible. It reflects God's character. And it's called in James 1:25 the perfect law of liberty. It's called a perfect law of liberty because when you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, he leads you to keep the moral law. And when you do that, it makes you to be free from your old sinful nature, free from the dictates of the world and what the world would put on you. And you're not worried about that. You are simply being transformed. Get this, the word transform means transfigured, like when Christ was transfigured, from inward outward. And what is inside comes out, and you begin to reflect God and his word in your life. And the Lord Jesus said that he would fulfill God's law. That meant he would bring it to completion. Here's what Jesus said. He said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. In other words, what he's saying is the temporary ceremonies and sacrifices of the Old Testament law would be fulfilled in Christ. He would keep those ceremonies. He would fulfill those sacrifices by his own sacrifice. And he also meant, though, that the permanent moral law of God would be fulfilled in and through every believer in Christ with the help of the Spirit of Christ. And that would bring it to completion. And that's why he says in Romans chapter 8, that the law of God, the righteousness of the law of God would be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you are a spiritual Christian, you make much of the Word of God. If you're a spiritual Christian, listen to me, you make much of the moral law of God. If you're not spiritual and you're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter to you. You can take it or leave it when it comes to the moral law of God. You can break break it and attack others as legalists if they think it's important. Because the Bible puts it this way. Jesus puts it this way. He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do, number one, do, and number two, teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so, you know, God rewards those that have high standards. God rewards those that don't cut the corners. God rewards those even in the least of it, like tithes and offerings. Jesus said they're not the greatest, they're the basics, but he said you shouldn't neglect it. And so God is saying that if you keep the law of God and the commandments of God in the Old and New Testament that are permanent, you know, you're going to be rewarded for that. But if you teach otherwise and you buy into the words for the birds that's legalism, then you're not going to have leadership responsibility from the Lord in his kingdom. And so he'll test us on that. And that's why in the church we have standards. And those that live by standards, they're entrusted with leadership. We have a leadership standard form that people sign. And those that refuse that, well, they're not going to be entrusted with leadership. And there are a few people that are leaders, but that's part of the great reward that you get for following God's commands. And we've been teaching and preaching on standards, on nakedness recently, and we've been studying what God's moral law says about clothing that he commands to be worn uniquely by ladies and girls. And last week we saw that this garment that's to be worn uniquely by ladies and girls gives a special covering for our ladies to protect them from the tendency of men and boys to look with youthful lust. Now this week I want to emphasize this lady's garment again, which is a modest dress or a skirt that covers, and we want to emphasize it, and we want to emphasize it not so much for protecting a lady's body, which we looked at last week, but this week we want to emphasize wearing a lady's garment for ladies to avoid confusion of the sexes that's going on in our time. You see, God says that it is an abomination to his holiness for mankind to lie with womankind and for womankind to lie with mankind in order to have forbidden carnal knowledge of the same sex. But some men get, listen to me, perverted thrills from putting on women's dresses, skirts, slips, and so forth. It's a perversion. And God says that kind of confusion with the opposite sex, dressing in clothing of the opposite sex, is the first step in perversion and acting out in that perversion. That is the first step, and Satan knows that, and he wants to move our society into confusion of gender. And so it says in Deuteronomy 22:5 that the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And notice there in Deuteronomy 22:5, it talks about a man wearing what pertains to a woman. You know, you're starting to see that today. I'm starting to see men wear dresses. I'm starting to see men wear skirts today. How many have seen somebody do that? That was rare. First of all, it was women that invaded the man's garment, which are pants, you see, and trousers. And women started doing that first. And right here in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Then it says the man. So the first one to fall in that area was the woman. And then it says that for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Why? Because it leads to, listen, gender confusion. Not only to lust, but to gender confusion. And I'm thinking about President Trump. You know, he talks all the time about men getting into women's sports. How many have heard him saying that? Men getting into women's sports. And how men are not to get into women's sports. And he says, if you elect me president, I will make sure that we get men out of women's sports. And to that we say amen. And that's for the president. But how about the Bible-believing pastor? What does he say? I say, if you have me as your pastor, I'll propose to get women out of men's pants. I'll propose to get women out of men's pants. And I want to tell you, that's the hub of it. That's where it all started. That's where all this gender confusion started. And I want to say to you, Satan always starts with a woman. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I am talking about Satan knows the effect of women on men. And Satan knows also the tendency for a woman to be moved more by the emotion. That's not bad to have emotion, and we need that. And the man is moved more by mental argument. And so Satan, he chose, when he got the whole human race to fall, he chose to get the woman first. And so we need to understand what we've been talking about here. Words for the birds, legalism, and we've been looking at divine dress standards. And we've said, number one, by having ladies wear the special garment just for ladies in order to protect their modesty. But tonight, by having ladies, your ladies, wear the special garment just for ladies, listen to me, to protect the differences of the sexes. Now, here's what the Bible says in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, talking about mankind. In the image of God created he him. And then it goes and it says, listen, male and female, he created them. You know, you've heard about having different pronouns and all this craziness about all these different genders. You know, there's so many different genders. It's all a bunch of confusion. And it all started, I believe, with Satan getting women to transgress out of a woman's garment only and get into a men's garment. And Satan's been attacking God's plan. And now it's to the point where it's so bad that the gender confusion is so bad that when a guy, a young man, not even old enough to know enough to make these decisions, says, I feel like a woman, because he's been brainwashed to say that in many cases in the government-run school. By the way, it's no longer public school. It's globalist government satanic brainwashing school. And they get in there, they lie, and they tell Satan's lie. And so the young man says, I feel like a woman, and they literally take off his organs of reproduction and try to make it into a woman. And let me tell you, that doesn't work. It's a mess. And they're doing the same thing with women, young women, not even 18 years of age, while they're still in school. It is insane what's going on in our country. And it is going forward. And thank God for a president that says he's going to help with that. But how about Bible-believing Christians? How about preachers preaching and getting to the root of the matter? I believe we're getting to the root of the matter tonight. And so when Satan attacked the human race, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the what? The woman. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, Genesis 3, 1 and 2a. Listen, he tried to get the woman because he knew if he could get the woman through emotionally deceiving her, he could get to the man. Now, the man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived, misled. She actually believed the lie. Listen, she believed the lie. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:14, it says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. By the way, that's one of the reasons that women should not be pastors. Right. I said women should not be pastors. I remember we had a Christian school years ago, and the principal's wife was a woman, and she was pastoring the church through the school. And I said, I'll knock the school down before I will have a woman pastoring the church through the school. And I did proceed to knock it down, amen, with preaching and teaching and standing up. I said, no, we're not going to have that. And I know how Satan works. And it's time for men to take leadership in the church and in the home when it comes to these kinds of things, and to teach and to preach on these kinds of things. It's not the most popular thing. It's not going to fill the church tonight. You can see that. But that's all right, because listen to me, God in one is a majority. You just do what God wants you to do. I don't look at the numbers. I don't look at the crowd. I look at the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And I thank God for President Trump. I'm voting for him, thank God. But he's not an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. And it's time for independent fundamental Baptist preachers to realize that we need to realize how Satan has gotten in here and to deal with it. And the Bible clearly teaches, listen, it's against God's moral law for a woman to wear the garment that is for men only. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy 22:5: the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man. Now, you say, well, what garment is universally recognized worldwide as pertaining to the man? Well, here is the garment. You can see it up there. This is the garment that if you go anywhere, you can see the universal symbols for men and women. Now, when you go into a bathroom, you could be in Thailand, you could be in China, you could be in the deepest Africa, and you could look, and when you see that, you know on the left, that's a lady's bathroom. On the right, that's a men's bathroom. And it's just recognized throughout the world. And the Bible says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Now, you start to see men starting to wear women's dresses and skirts, and that is an abomination. And listen, that's what starts down to all this gender confusion. That's what starts it. But it wasn't men that started it. Satan wanted to get a hold of this society. So listen to me. He convinced women to start wearing the unique garment for a man. We said last week that shows up too much of the women's private areas for the lustful eyes of men. But also it leads, listen to me, to gender confusion. And so the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now, we said adorn means to beautify. When a woman wears a colorful dress or skirt that's modest, it adorns the doctrine of Christ. Stand up, Oceana. You got a colorful dress on there. Just walk out here a little bit. Yeah, that's a modest garment worn by a young lady, and it adorns. That means it decorates, it beautifies. Thank you, Oceana. It decorates, it beautifies. Now, modest here, the word modest, cosmion, means orderly. Orderly. Think about that. Orderly, cosmion. And that word, orderly, means it follows God's order. There's a certain dress for men, in other words. God has an order. There's a certain dress for women. And so it, modest apparel means that you follow the order of the sexes. And men are distinct from women, and women are distinct from men. And the modest garment upholds that a woman is to wear. And so if a woman, listen, gets into wearing a man's garment, she is what? Out of order. That's what the word modest cosmion means. Then the word apparel, we've already looked at that, means a garment, katastole, that covers the nakedness down to the bottom of the knee. But as we already taught, it's a loose-fitting garment so as not to show the secret areas that are to be protected. And it is a loose-fitting garment that flows down over to protect a lady's body. But it also shows the unique distinction of the sexes. And so what happened, I remember when this happened, the 1960s, Satan really was getting into this country and began to push really hard. It had already begun before that, but in the 1960s, it really blossomed and started to bear fruit. And there is a Virginia Slim commercial in the 1960s. I have it right here, and I have it held up. A Virginia Slims commercial of a lady in a man's suit, just like I have on, with man's pants on. And then there are three ladies that have on dresses over there from the old fashion. And this lady is there. And here's what it said. It says, "You've come a long way, baby. You've come a long way, baby." In other words, now you can smoke more cigarettes, as much cigarettes as a man can wear, and you can dress like a man, and that shows you're a progressive lady. Doesn't that sound like you're making progress? We talk about the gospel progress. Let me tell you, that's not progress, what you see. That is a regression. That is a going back away from God and going into a mess, and you can see where we are now. Do you like the progress that we made? Do you like where we are in 2024? But I've been preaching against this for a long time. Before this ever happened, I was preaching this against this in the 20th century, in the 1980s, preaching against this. But I'm just saying this is what has gone on in our country. Now listen, God spoke to Job about a garment that is only for men and not for ladies. In Job 38:3, God said this to Job. Listen up. He said, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." Job 38:3. Listen, men are to gird up their loins like a man. Let me say it again. Job 40:8. This is God speaking. God says, "Gird up thy loins like a man." Now, why did he say that? I want to kind of demonstrate this myself. That back in Bible times, men and women wore robes. How many knew that? Nothing new. Men and women wore robes. All right? And I'm going to put on a robe because I'm going to be a Bible character here. And men and women wore robes. Now, here is a girdle. You say, what's a girdle? It's what you put around your loins, your waist, to hold your robe in a little bit here. So I'm going to put that on. That's my girdle. I tie a bow in my girdle. It girds around me and do it. Now, when it says, "Gird up your loins like a man," what does that mean? Well, it means that you... This is trouble. What kind of a man are you? That means that you take that garment and you gird it and you put it in your girdle, which is your belt. And I'm not going to try it the hard way. I'm going to do it this way. So you see, I do that. You see that? Now, that is a man's thing to do. Why does God say, "Gird up your loins like a man"? Because men fought in the military, and they didn't need that long robe to go around and trip them up. So men were to gird up their loins, and it would expose their loins, but it would enable them to fight and to maybe work hard and to exercise hard. So God says, only to men you're to gird up your loins. Now, women wore robes too, but when a man girded up his loins, when a man girded up his loins, you see, he had underneath it a man's garment, which were breeches. All right, now let me give an example of that. I'll read that to you. There was a man's garment called breeches, and that is in Exodus 39. I'll get back to where I am, Brother Bob, but Exodus 39:27 says the sons of Aaron were also to wear robes, but the breeches or the pants went below and were there if and when needed to do strenuous work. So in Exodus 39:27, God says Aaron's sons are to wear robes, but underneath it they're to have on breeches. Now, the breeches had to cover the knees. Now, what were the breeches? It went from the loins to the knees. And what were the breeches? The breeches were breeches. Well, what are breeches? Breeches are trousers. I went through Webster's 1828. And what are trousers? They're pants. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever hear of God saying that a woman is to dress in pants. God says that the men are to dress in pants and Aaron's, and you're to gird up your loins like a man, and that would expose those pants. But a woman was not to gird up her robe like this. Let me take my robe back down. A woman was not to gird up her loins and show any pants underneath. She was to keep that long flowing garment over her at all times, you see. And this has been violated. Now, Satan, he picked on the woman first. He picked on the woman first. And he gave her all kind of reasons. One of the reasons was, oh, you could play harder athletics. You could do more hard stuff. You know, a lot of women, when they got into Olympic competitions and a lot of these strenuous athletics, and there was a lady named Amelia Bloomer who helped with that. She had bloomers under the dresses, and then she kept shortening the dresses until the bloomers just showed. And that was the big thing. And that was so women could do athletics. That was just around the turn of the century. And Amelia Bloomer did that. And boy, did that ever hurt. Because a lot of these women that get into athletics, their monthly cycle stops. And they're not able to do what they could do if they didn't devote themselves to that. So we have to question that whole stress for strenuous women's athletics. But let me say that as you look at this, and Marlena Dietrich was a Hollywood actress, and she wanted to show people how to dress. And I have an article about her. That's her right there. And here's what it says about Marlena Dietrich. This was in the 1920s, May 21st. It says, thousands of women are following the tread set by film actress Marlena Dietrich and wearing men's clothes. Did you hear that? Thousands of women are following the trend set by Marlena Dietrich and wearing men's clothes. Gray flannel trousers are particularly popular, and commentators have already named the style Dietrichery. 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 And I'll say it's deep trickery. It was the trick of the devil to have a popular actress do this. And it says the glamorous German actress caused a sensation in Paris. And the day when she arrived from America dressed in a man's brown suit and a beret. And the color of her necktie exactly matched her hair and nails, her lips and nails, as her husband, her husband was with her there. What a guy he is, huh? Encouraging that. He reminds me of that lady who had married to that guy who sits in the front row while she preaches and crosses his legs and listens to her preach. I mean, what a sad situation. There's actually a law in Paris against, listen to this, there's actually a law in Paris against women attracting undue attention by walking down the streets in what? Male attire. Boy, oh boy, you've come a long way, baby. Away from God, away from His Word. And I have another Virginia Slim commercial here. And this is very interesting. Yeah, there it is right there. It says, I'll read it. It says, in 1962, listen to this. Even the world knows what I'm talking about. In 1962, Mr. Lee Evans, that's the husband of this lady, or the lady above. See the lady above? Is the lady above there? Yeah, she's in a dress. The lady above that lady is in a dress hanging up clothes. All right, and a modest dress. Beautiful lady. Looks like this lady, but looks modest. And it says, Mr. Lee Evans in 1962 made it clear that he wore the pants in the family, but once a week he didn't mind giving them to his wife. And she's hanging the pants on a clothesline up above with a dress on. And then in the bottom, it shows this lady with the pants on, and looking cool with a cigarette in her hand, and it says again, you've come a long way, baby. you've come a long way, baby. And that is nothing but Satan's fib. Women's lib was Satan's fib to bring about gender confusion and to destroy God's distinction of the sexes, and therefore to destroy us and to mutilate. And you say, well, who's going to uphold the standard? It's not going to be President Trump. It's not going to be the Republican Party. It's going to be independent fundamental Baptists who dress according to God's moral law in His Word and are not afraid to stick with God rather than follow the trend of the world. And men need to stand up and say, as for me and my house, this is the way we're going to do it. That needs to be done. And ladies need to say, I'm going to submit to my husband. If he's holding the Word of God up, I'm going to submit to him. Whether you see it or not, whether you're deceived or not. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. The man should hold it up, and preachers should hold it up. But you know what? We got too many cowardly men. We got too many cowardly preachers that hold their finger up, and they're wanting to gather the crowd. They're wanting to have the popularity. I want to have the smile of Jesus Christ. I want to have the perfect law of liberty and to be made free from conformity to the world and conformity, you see, and following my flesh. And you say, aren't you worried that you're going to be looked at as a fanatic? Aren't you worried? No, I'm worried about one thing, pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. That's all I'm worried about. Putting a smile on the Lord's face. That's all I'm worried about. That's all I need to. It keeps it simple, beloved. And you say, well, what if it doesn't put a smile on some woman's face? Well, then, too bad for that. Amen and amen. I'm just saying that we need to do what God wants us to do. And so God says in Exodus 28:42 about men, high priest, family, and thou shalt make them, the men, linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even to the thighs shall they reach. Breeches are breeches, breeches are trousers, trousers are pants. In other words, pants are a man's garment, and a woman's garment are long, flowing, modest skirts and dresses. And we need to uphold that standard. Now let me wrap this up tonight. Let me just say it this way. You ladies, you young ladies, and you older ladies should wear only modest dresses or modest skirts to protect the private areas of your body from the prying eyes of lustful men. That's Bible. Ladies should wear modest dresses or skirts also to uphold, listen to me, God's creation of the two sexes and to avoid the gender confusion. If we're the salt of the earth, what does salt do? Salt keeps something from corrupting, stinking. I went into my office today and I smelled something and I realized I had a mouse in there, dead. And I looked at the trap and I saw the light flashing, but I smelled it first. And you know what? Then I threw the mouse out. But I want to tell you something. There's a mouse in the house. And it's corrupting. And it's ladies that have gone into men's garments. And it has led to the undoing of the separation of the sexes and the destruction of even mutilation of young people. It's destroying our young people. And you thought it was a small thing. No, it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. I am not straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. It's a big thing. And married ladies should submit to their husbands on this question if there is a disagreement. The man has the final word. If there is a disagreement, the women should submit to the man. And I'm also looking for men tonight, not only ladies, but I'm looking for men tonight and women who will commit to live by God's standards of His moral law. And I believe it, that God would have us to make that stand and say, you know what? I hear it. I'm committed to live by the standards on modesty and covering nakedness and gender separation that I see here in the Word of God. And I'm going to ask we bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. And whether you're a man or a woman, this is going to